City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Mandan edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, August 7th, and we're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. Jim Neubauer is here from the city of Mandan.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. It's been a while since we've been together.
Yeah, it's been a month or longer, so
lots been happening.
A little bit of catch up to do here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And last night's meeting of the city commission primarily seemed to focus on the budget for 2020. But 2020, I should say.
Yes. It is that time of year when you'll hear that, whether you're park boards or school boards or counties.
Yeah.
There's a lot of budget talk right now.
Absolutely. And we'll get to that in a minute.
We'll
start with a few things on the agenda last night before we get into that budget. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that was early on the agenda in the area of bids.
Yes.
And this is an annual thing that we see pop up every year with the city of Mandan.
Yeah, we don't like to talk snow removal in the first part of August,
yeah.
But we do go out for bids on snow removal, whether it's pieces of equipment, front-end loaders that we may need to rent or have providers provide us over the wintertime. So we try and get those costs in early. So like I said, that will go out for bids this week or next week, where contractors can supply their pricing for this wintertime.
Yeah, and that way you're not caught in an emergency situation and having to pay above and beyond.
When a snowstorm hits, we don't want to be calling contractors saying, well, what are you going to charge me for a dump truck or a tandem axle or whatever? We've already got those prices set.
Right.
We know who has availability and we know what the prices are.
So authorization was provided last night
Correct. Then
to go forward and advertise for
yep.
that. Okay.
Happens the first meeting of every August every year, so
yeah.
it's an annual event.
And again, another annual occurrence then for the commission, our budgets. And
yes.
last night, the library and the airport brought their really kind of an annual report forward, your new library director.
Jackie Hawes did a fantastic job.
She did a really nice job. That was a really good report and talked about what the library does yeah. and where the money goes and all that.
We started doing this several years ago where, a lot of people don't know what does it take to run a library? What does it take to run the Mandan Airport and things like that? So mm-hmm. we have those folks come in. It's kind of a time for them to come in and brag up their operations
yeah.
for a little bit.
Sure.
And they do a good job.
Yeah.
Jim Lawler and his crew at the airport and Jackie and her crew at the library. For example, it costs $860,000 a year that we need in revenue to run the Morton Mandan Public
mm-hmm.
Library. And those funding sources come from both Morton County property taxes and city of Mandan property taxes, because we do have a
right.
joint library now.
Sure.
So,
sure.
And it's always fun when Jackie, a couple of years ago, she kind of surprised us all and said, I think there were 75,000 visitors at the library. And we just all kind of we were almost aghast going, what? This year, that number is more like 110,000 times. That door opens and a patron comes into
sure.
the library and will ask for service.
Yeah.
So it's well used, contrary to a lot of public belief, is that between Amazon and Kindle and
your
iPads and
yeah.
your tablets,
libraries are dying.
Nobody's reading books anymore.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
that's this is a case where libraries are really a community event space.
Well,
and training space, and that's what
absolutely know, and I think that we see that they're very diversified. There's all sorts of services that people don't mm-hmm. quite expect, and
right.
we see that in Bismarck and Mandan libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Passport photos and applications.
Yep.
You can loan out artwork. all sorts of
surprise, and I guess the number was 117,000 times that door swung open last year. There are 100,000 items were checked out of the library, so it is still widely used.
Yeah.
400 passport applications, because now when it used to be you'd have to go to the post office or even the county to do your passport, the library has expanded hours, so
mm-hmm.
on the weekends and evenings you can go in there and do your application
right.
for your passport.
Well,
so.
And I think also what's real interesting is the outreach and
yes.
the programs that they conduct. Dykstra Park is adjacent to the library, a beautiful
right.
setting for the library, and they use that park to do events.
Use an awful lot. Jackie had 454 programs that were put on through the library in 2018. 14,000 attendees.
Children's programming, yep. Teen programs.
Adult programming, right. Pick your favorite.
Exactly.
So far this summer, they've already done 144 programs in the library. And you know, a lot of things we learn about the bookmobile.
Sure.
You know, it's continuing to go out. It's got a new wrap. It's got a new sound system and things like that, so they can talk to people outside the bookmobile. And also, I think they're working on some door-to-door service, whereas maybe you're a shutting and you can't make it to the
bookmobile. I saw that in the report. That
and that's something that I learn something new every year, and I think that's a really good service for the library.
So no big surprises in their budget.
Nope.
Looked like it was pretty even. But what the library is looking forward to in the coming year or so is a lot of physical improvements to the building, certainly the park adjacent and the downtown improvements are scheduled.
You know, the gift from energy transfer this year of $3 million is going to help with a building for the bookmobile to be housed down near the library. Yeah. Right now it's up at the Morton County Shop, and some, I think, great improvements in Dykeshorn and Heritage Plaza Parks that are going to help the aesthetics of that area, and also improvements on the inside of the library,
Lots of nice things coming for the library.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, that was great. And as always, those reports were part of your agenda,
correct,
which are online.
They are online, free to view. And like I said, we won't touch all of the areas of the library and the airport, but like I said, between those two entities, it's their time to shine, and they will come in and do a good job. And
so your airport, you had a representative from the board provide a report, and they've got, again, no big surprises in the budget, but they do have some improvements that they were looking.
They have some improvements. They've got some, there's a new hangar that's going to be constructed out there. I think that's worth about $800,000. Again, the airport, operating and maintenance of the Mandan Airport, you know, on an annual basis, is costing about $700,000-$800,000 to run the airport. Again, through four mills that they're levied to City of Mandan residents are helping pay for that bill.
Yeah.
And also they sell aviation gas out there too, or aviation fuel, I should say. Their avgas is contributing to their profits.
Yeah.
And hangar rent.
And so their report was interesting. They have they had some city photographs that they provide for the city of the city properties, the aerial photographs that they're able to conduct. They do some events out there as well.
I was interested when they did the Buggies and Blues breakfast out there. I usually go out there to feed my face. and they do a great job. I think there were 1,400 people that went out for the Buggies and Blues fly in this spring.
Nice.
And they're trying to figure out how they accommodate more people. So that's extremely popular at the airport, and like I said, they've got some repairs going for their taxi lanes and things like that that are old and falling apart, and I think those are about $2.2 million. Again,
normal kind of maintenance,
a lot of
issues.
federal grant and state aviation grant money going in there, and so that's a good thing.
All right, that was under new business. Also under new business last night was our variance request for a driveway width that would be bigger than the standard that's established for the city of Mandan. Why are there standards, Jim?
Driveway widths, our width of your driveway can be 36 feet wide. That doesn't include the apron or the flares that go out on the side of your driveway. The reason that we set that width is because, you know, most people are, it's a three-stall garage, it's a big wide driveway. People are having smaller boulevards all the time. Our public works, there's really nowhere to put snow anymore. And we do one driveway per property. The variance request last night was to add an additional driveway of probably 18 feet wide, which was, you know, farther to the on the property line, because they didn't have room to the north, so they wanted to do a driveway apron on the south so that they could, you know, build a structure where they could house their RV. And certainly understand all of the reasons as to why. But again, we need, from a city standpoint, we run into problems when there's just nowhere to put snow.
Yeah.
And the utilities and things like that. And that's one of the main reasons we limit the width of the driveways.
And the maximum width is 36 feet?
Maximum width is 36 feet. This property, before we enacted that 36-foot width, they actually have a 44-foot wide driveway. and again, another 18 feet onto that property, crates. In this case, you know, there's probably enough room to put snow in between those two driveways and probably wouldn't have a problem. But the next property owner that comes in and says, well, you allowed a variance for this driveway. Why don't you allow one for mine? Mm-hmm. And so we get into kind of
a little tricky for setting a precedent for something like that.
And again, it's more and more often than not, there's just becoming limited room. Once you add your two driveways, you add a spot for your mail to go and things like that.
The bigger the driveway, the more snow you have to displace in a different area.
It has to go somewhere.
So, yeah, absolutely. Just,
we do quite a bit of hauling of snow as it is, and it's very expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we only mention this because we want to talk about that process. Mm-hmm. We're not picking on a property owner or an issue, but when there is a standard, when there is an ordinance in place for that type of thing, there is a process that people can go through and request a variance. Now, the interesting part last night was there was some kind of minor discussion back and forth a little bit, but it really came down to, and I think it was Commissioner Davis who asked the question about covenants in the neighborhood. This is the Lakewood area. He said, have you gone through the neighborhood association? Have they taken a look? And we'd feel more comfortable if they had approved this prior to us granting this variance.
Right. And in this case, for a variance to be approved by a commission, I think there's four or five different tests that are laid out by the North Dakota Supreme Court. Says you have to meet A, B, C, D in order to the commission to grant a variance. In this case, this home is located in a homeowners association that is a very active homeowners association. Some people may live in a house that there might be a covenants or an HOA that they're maybe not even aware of. But in this area, there's a very active HOA, and the commission said, you know what, you should run through your HOA first. Mm-hmm. And if you've got their green light, then come back to us and we'll discuss it later.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I expect this to come back.
Yeah, probably next meeting.
Yep.
All right. And we'll probably talk about it again.
Yes, we will.
Under resolutions and ordinances, there were a few items. Again, we'll end with the budget.
Yep.
But first one was a first consideration and to amend and reenact the possession of marijuana ordinance for the city of Mandan.
Right. Again, part of some of the legislative changes that were made this year in the session that was going on in the winter of 2019, we're enacting some of those changes right now. Changes in the possession laws, I think, were changed from a half ounce to an ounce, or I can't remember which one it goes. Again, but this is just enacting.
Just to be compliant with the state law.
Yep, we need to be compliant with state law, and we will see several more of those coming up in the next few weeks and the next couple of meetings that kind of go, all right, there's some laws that were passed as far as, well, the city could, you know, double their traffic fines from where they are right now to be in compliance with state law and things like that. So we'll see some of those things that'll be coming up in the next few meetings.
Coming up back in the agendas.
Yep.
Okay.
So again, nothing, this is just a, all right, we need to get our code in line with what the state constitution is.
First consideration to create an ordinance last night was to dogs and cats on public property address this issue. There's a need for this.
There is, and in the part of be a good neighbor, we'd always like to think that we're all neighborly and we're good. And you see more people carrying bags around with them when they're out walking their dogs, which is awesome.
Yeah.
We have had issues in Dykstra Park and Heritage Plaza where folks will bring their dogs, or they're not as many cats that they have on a leash, but they will bring their dogs, and their dogs will make a mess and they will not clean it up. Mm-hmm. And that is getting more prevalent. I hate to say that, but it's more prevalent, and we've run into some situations where, you know, we've asked folks to clean up and they have not been as polite in their response back to us.
Wow.
And it's just becoming, this is not a dog, it's not a place to take your dog to go to the bathroom every single day. And we see that happening more often than not. And with all events between Buggies and Blues, Art in the Park, this weekend's event with the main event going on and Oktoberfest, that park is used
lots of traffic
heavily.
Yeah.
I think every day this summer there's been meals served down by the Bandshell as part of another library program.
Well, the Bandshell events, almost every night there's music in the Bandshell.
Yeah. So it's to the time where, you know, this was the first consideration of the ordinance that would allow.
So it'll come back next meeting.
And this would allow the city commission to pass a resolution that would ban dogs and cats from public property that they choose. So they could say, okay, Dykstra Park Heritage Plaza, we don't want dogs and cats in there. And and I think we'll bring back an amendment to the first consideration regarding it would be a something that a police officer could write a ticket for. So you wouldn't have to go to court. You wouldn't have to go through all that. But hey, it's kind of like the leash law. If we see you out without a leash, we can write you a ticket for $20. If you have your dog in one of these parks that the commission says no dogs, it would be a $20 ticket.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that's the amount that comes through on August 20th at our next meeting. But that is part of, you know, you hate to, it's great to take your dogs out and walk them and your animals out and do that. But it's a matter of, it's gotten to a point where people are just not cleaning up.
Well, specifically Dykstra Park, we just talked about the library and all the programming that they do is a lot for children in the park. And then the MPO has numerous events that we talk about all the time. And almost always we talk about, please do not bring your animals, dogs and or cats, to these types of public events. There's just not a place for them.
Right. And we, you know, we talked about that right before Rodeo Days and the 4th of July celebrations, that please leave your dogs at home because they probably don't want to be amongst a crowd of people in 95 degree weather. And they're not going to be comfortable. And while you are comfortable with your animal, there's also several hundred people down there at the same time that may not be as comfortable with animals as you. And we want you to be respectful and those types of things.
So yeah,
we're very lucky that there hasn't been an incident in the park in downtown, and we don't want to have one ever happen.
It seems more prevalent. And I was talking to you before, we were talking before about, I was in Fargo recently for a public event downtown, and there were large dogs moving around. It's just, it was mind-boggling as to, it must have been 87 degrees and super hot, and these big dogs were just panting.
Yep.
And even the best-behaved animal and trained animal, you can't predict what they're going to do in this kind of situation, and then you have children at eyeball level with these dogs.
You may not be able to predict what your dog will do, and you certainly can't predict what someone else's child will do.
Right.
And they're not always compatible.
Or two animals that come in contact with each other might not be, certainly is unpredictable.
Yep. But I saw some of that this year at Art in the Park, and you've got an individual with their dog, and it's a large dog, and another individual with a smaller dog, and all of a sudden they see each other, and they're kind of going at it, and you're trying to, the two owners are doing their best to keep the dogs apart, but
it's just not the place for this.
And,
Nobody's being a dog hater here.
Oh, absolutely
not. We just
want
to make sure. Don't start emailing.
No,
we love dogs. I own a dog, but it's just not the place for this.
We've been holding off taking this step for a long time, but as it's become a more prevalent issue, we felt we had to do something.
And, some controls need to be put in place, no doubt. And there will be exceptions, I would assume, for service animals, that type of thing. So, and, you know, we talk about children in that environment. I have a relationship with a couple people who have probably an unreasonable fear of dogs, and when there's one even present in their radar, they become very concerned about that, and that's just not fair to bring animals. And as you said too, those animals likely don't want to be in that situation either.
Common sense prevails, and
it
we hope
it really does. So that'll be interesting. So next meeting, there will be a public hearing. People have an opportunity to ask questions and provide input at that time.
Correct.
Yeah, sounds good. Another first consideration, this one is to amend and reenact an ordinance that exists in Mandan about parked vehicle on the street, parked vehicles and
campers,
trailers.
Campers, RVs, trailers, things like that.
Boats.
Yep. We made some changes a few years ago. And right now, what we're doing now is doing some cleanup language. You know, some places we had, well, you can have your camper, RV, boat, what have you, on the street for 12 hours. In some places it was 24 hours, in some places it was 48 hours, and we worked with our attorneys and police department, said we need to clean this up because we need to make sure that
not consistent, hard to follow.
To follow, and what do you enforce?
Okay.
And so we think by, you know, everything is going to be 12 hours now to load and unload, and also we have some restrictions in there that we've had, and again, this is more complaint driven, so a lot of people will think, oh, it's the big bad city coming out and telling us to do this and do that. But we have a number of complaints from folks that if I own a trailer or a camper, I'm parking that camper somewhere else. It might be across the street in my neighbor's front yard or in their part of their street. And I understand it's public right-of-way, and you can do that. But what we're asking is that, no, you can't park it. You know, if you live in your house and you park it in front of your neighbor's house, or we also have people that will, they'll get a ticket and they'll take their trailer and park it in a completely different neighborhood in front of somebody else's house.
Seems
and
somewhat arrogant yeah, to do that.
It,
yes.
It does. But yes, these are,
it's
we
real.
Don't, we don't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
And we have complaints from people that are saying, you know, love my neighbors to death, but they keep parking their trailer in front of my house, and I don't have a place to park. And again, granted, it's public right away.
Out there for,
so we're trying to do some.
Oh my gosh!
React to those folks that you know.
We had the Lori Flayton, who's a
correct deputy police chief.
Deputy police chief, yep. Talking about the frequency of the complaints that you get in this area. So
right.
It obviously is a real concern.
You know, you can have one or two, and usually you can deal with them. You know, maybe it's neighbor to neighbor conversation, or maybe it's our code enforcement officer talking to the neighbor and things will get straightened out. But it appears again more often than not that things are not going well, and therefore that you have to write the rule to do that. And like, it's unfortunate, but we don't make this stuff, and we've seen it happen, and we're trying to deal with it.
So this is an amendment to an existing ordinance. It'll come back in the
next
meeting.
Come back for second consideration, August 20th.
Public hearing at that time.
Right.
If you have comments, questions.
So big thing is we're going to, you know, 12 hours for, you know, trailers, campers, whatever, between eight feet wide and 20 feet long, and go from 4,000 pounds to 10,000 pounds because a lot of vehicles are over 4,000 pounds now. Doesn't mean you can drive your semi-truck in your residential street and park it overnight and things like that, but these are for your campers, trailers, RVs,
okay,
things of that nature that we like to get them off the street.
We'll probably talk about it again after the next meeting.
Yep.
So last on the resolutions and ordinances, last but not least, was the preliminary 2020 budget for the city of Mandan.
Right. We start probably in March, April. Our department heads get our note from our finance director, Greg Welsh, to start thinking about your next year's budget. We have public meetings with all of our portfolio holders, commissioners, along with, you know, for example, Dennis Rohr, Commissioner Rohr has the police and fire department portfolios. So we meet, the finance committee meets with the portfolio holder and their department heads. We go through the budget. We finance and budget committee get together and kind of go through everybody's requests. We put together a preliminary budget, and that was what we heard last night from Greg.
It's a long process, and it does. Last night started out with Greg Welch, your finance director, giving a very succinct, very understandable report. I always appreciate that. It has lots of pie charts and whatnot, and we have some graphics that we can kind of, they're kind of the base level graphics, and the first one that we have we can pop up has to do with revenues and the general revenues that are realized by the city. $35.5 million in revenues, and the various sources that they come from as well, where they come from, property taxes.
You know, I think a lot of people think that all of our money comes from property tax, and that's just not the case. Only 38% of our budget comes from property taxes, which is about $4.6 million. We've got other funds that come in. There's highway tax distribution money that comes from your fuel tax. So when you gas up your vehicle in town, you know, we get a portion of that back.
Okay.
City sales tax, we collect, and we get, you know, a goodly portion of state aid distribution, which in essence is your, when you pay your 5% sales tax,
okay,
when you buy a good, then that money comes to the state of North Dakota, and it's distributed back to the municipalities and counties and cities based on, you know, I think it's a population-based formula.
Right.
And some of that comes back to help you run your operations. So again, it's more than just property taxes.
Right, exactly. There's various sources. And each one of these sources that we see on this graphic could come from a variety of places. So you can break it down from here.
Yep.
But then the other graphic that we can share has to do with expenditures and what goes out from those monies.
Right. Our expenditures to run the city cost about $12.8 million. Salary and benefits are 67% or $8.6 million. Mm-hmm. We $3.5 million for operation and maintenance, which would be, you know, you're buying your fuel and your supplies for your equipment. And like I said, watching you go through the chart here.
That's right. He's got it on the screen over there too. Yeah. So sorry about
that. Like I said, most of the money that we will generate goes to pay salaries and wages and capital debt and outlay when we're buying new. I think we've got a new street sweeper budgeted for next year and a new front end loader for the landfill and several other pieces of equipment for public works and the police department. You know, new vehicles that are replaced every year.
And salaries and benefits at 67%. I mean, that's understandable. That's the way it works. And I think that you had an increase for employees at 2%.
Right. Employees, we're looking across the board 2%, which would coincide with the Midwest Urban Consumer Price Index. I think it's we use that. Greg uses that number every year so that we are consistent. So we're not kind of picking and choosing which one we want to use every year. It's based on the same.
And overall, only two full-time employee additions.
Right. Two additions. One, we're adding a mechanic to our street department. We have one mechanic down there, but and most of the folks that work down there have some mechanical abilities, but we're finding that there's a greater need.
Can imagine.
All year round. And you know, the police department all requested several new positions, and the one new police officer slash detective will be funded for the 2019 or 2020 budget.
Okay.
So those are only two new people are being added.
And bottom line then, what that means then as far as the impact to property owners, what does it mean for their property taxes in the coming year?
Impact to if you own a house or residential property worth $275,000 and you have had no valuation increase or decrease, it remained $275,000, which overall we think that property valuations remained pretty stable this year. Okay. And so that's why we choose that. $275,000 house will pay, I think, $12 more a year, dollar more a month.
With no valuation increase.
For city services. If you have a property that had a 1% increase in value, so if your property went from $275,000 to, I think, $287,000 or whatever number that would be, you would see an increase of $20 a year.
Okay.
That along with our utility fund, our utility rates are going up. One, we have a new water intake structure that is probably going out for bid this fall. We're trying to work that increase. That's a $20 million project. Of that, we have grant monies, you know, thank you to State Water Commission, for about $12 million. We have $8 million, rough numbers, $8 million left over. Marathon Refinery will be covering $4 million of that, and the City of Mandan residents and users will cover the other $4 million.
So, and we've talked about that project many, many times, that water transmission project. Yep. So that's coming in.
Will your base charge on your water bill will go up $1.55, I believe, a month, and we will have another increase in 2021 to account for that. And also there's some small increases, you know, a nickel a month for your garbage pickup, and I think 15 cents or 10 cents a month for your recycling.
Okay.
So very minimal increase. Adding two new positions are kind of the highlights of the budget this year.
Okay. All right.
And yeah, like I said, I can't not say thank you to Greg and his finance department and all of our department heads for, they put a lot of time and effort into that. And we, you know, they do a very good job of justifying the needs, and there are way more asks and needs than we're funded.
Sure.
But we're trying to keep our property taxes in line, to a reasonable level.
Absolutely.
For folks.
And I think that what we should talk about is the next steps. Then this was just approval of the preliminary budget, which means the action they took last night cannot be increased. The money cannot be increased from this point. They can still decrease, but you're going to have the final budget hearing. What day will that be?
That is September 17th, 6 o'clock.
All right.
So after last night's, the board moved to pass that preliminary budget. That is sent over, and it was sent over last night to Morton County Auditor Don Roan. In turn, she gets all of that information from the school district, the park district, City of Mandan, and the county, and by August 31st has to send a letter out to every resident in Mandan and Morton County that lays out, here's when your park board budget hearing is, here's when your school budget meeting, here's when your city mm-hmm. budget meeting hearing is, and all those things and what those potential changes may mean to your tax bill.
Right.
So a lot of work left to do, but this is the first step in that finalization process.
And I think we have a graphic that shows that as well, that way that is distributed. It's mm-hmm. a pie chart, not that one. Lloyd, if you want to pop up that last one, thank you. Shows where your property taxes go.
Right.
I think a lot of people are under the impression that the city of Mandan has control of all of this, and that's where it comes from. So when you say there is X number of mills or a certain dollar amount right. that they can anticipate, this is just from the city.
Yep. Cities, City of Mandan represents 24%, or if you take your dollar bill and 24 cents out of that dollar that you pay mm-hmm. in property tax, if you're a Mandan resident, comes to the City of Mandan for our operations. Morton County gets a little bit less. Maybe they're still probably about 24%. And the Park District gets less than that. They're usually in the 8 or 9 or 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And the school district usually is 50% or more of your property taxes.
Understandable.
So City of Mandan,
a lot of students.
Our commissioners control that 24% of that property tax bill. There's a park board commission controls their part. There's a county commissioners, and there's also a school district board of commissioners that they control their part.
So all property owners will get this letter from the county.
Correct.
Which will outline the preliminary budgets for each one of these entities and also provide the date for the public hearing. So if people are concerned, they certainly can go to those meetings. In the meantime, your budget is on your website as well.
Our budget is on the website. And again, September 17th at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
That is set in stone. That will be our public hearing on the budget, and we'll go after that.
And you get a little break until March of next year, and then you get started all over again. Before we leave today, mm-hmm. I just want to talk about the business pitch challenge.
Yes.
We've talked about it before. It's a big deal. There's a potential for a forgivable loan for the winner. The applications, it's open for applications right now, and you have an October 1st deadline.
October 1st deadline. There's also an intermediate step there.
Right.
I think there's a September 10th from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock for entrepreneurs. I think it's Business Startup 101.
Yeah.
And, if you're thinking about starting a business, we get a lot of I guess you're never a former entrepreneur. You probably always are. But you can ask those folks who have started their own business a lot of good questions, and they're always willing to help out.
Right.
And this event has grown over the years. It's increased in numbers every year, and it's really fun.
It's a really good preliminary activity or something to participate in prior to your submitting your application.
Right.
The business startup, it's a workshop. It's a three-hour event. It's free of charge.
Yep. And when we say workshop, it's not like you bring a pen and paper.
Exactly.
You're not going to be tested at the end of this. It's going to be, you will hear
speakers
from a lot of speakers that are offering assistance to new businesses or to businesses that are already existing and want to expand.
Opportunity to ask questions.
And
learn.
Also, there's usually a panel at the end of folks who've opened a business within the last year or two.
Okay.
Ask them all the questions. What about accounting? What about illegal? What about sales? How do you find employees? All these kinds of good things
that
you need to know.
And city regulations, those kinds of things that they should be concerned about.
Right.
What kind of signage?
Yes.
Can they put up a mural? All of those things.
I just had to go there.
But you do want people to register in advance, even though it is free. So you can go to thecityofmandan.com.
Go to cityofmandan.com, register for those events so we know how many how many waters and cookies to get. And we have great support from businesses. Again, this is a free event.
And it's at the Harvest.
Yeah,
okay.
So we encourage folks to go online.
They got a lot
of
room, so participate. And the last item we want to talk about is a event that's coming up this weekend. Remember, we're recording this on Wednesday, August 7th.
Correct.
So this is something that's happening August 9th and 10th in downtown Mandan.
Yes.
A big annual event formerly known as Grill Fest.
Formerly known as Grill Fest, now is the main event Chew and Brew.
Yeah.
As I'm looking at the Man Down Progress Organization
website. Lots of really good food and barbecue.
Food and music, entertainment. Like I said, if you, the 9th and 10th of August, if you go on the MPO's website, you can see the list of performers. One of the new things that they're going to try this year is that, you know, you can buy a cup and a wristband from a local establishment, and you could actually walk in designated areas with a cup of your favorite beverage.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that is new for this year. Downtown Fargo, I think, has tried it and had pretty good results and no problems with it. So Man in Progress Organization is going to try that this year. And so, like I said, you can actually, you know, you can't, it's not a BYOB.
Yeah,
it's
don't
not
bring
your own.
Own
beverage.
Yeah.
It's you must have this in a approved cup and a wristband and all that good stuff. So
right.
We're looking forward to it.
Good, great event, Downtown Mandan, and another great event by the Mandan Progress Organization.
If you're food and beer and music, or beverage and music, they are the three ingredients, I think, the recipe for a good event.
And details, I think, mandanprogressorganization.org.
Correct.
Yeah, you can go there, and it's got all the dates and times and what's happening in the schedule.
So if you're looking for something to do this weekend and you're all done with your Sturgis rally, you can come on Downtown Mandan on the 9th and 10th.
Even if you're not done with
have
Sturgis.
Have a family-friendly event going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Well, thanks for coming in, Jim. And
thanks
we'll
for
see
having
you.
Us.
We'll probably see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
No more long gaps like this.
Okay.
All right. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.